Now, next up, we have comedian and all around, I don't know, he's got a lot of strings to his bow as well. James Colley is in the studio. He's the host and creator of the live podcast Nailed It, which is also a live stage show, which is on tomorrow night. And he gets together a bunch of comedians, journalists, writer, have a bit of a think tank session live on stage to solve some of the world's most ridiculous questions and hot button issues. He's in the studio. Good afternoon, James.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming down. I'm really excited to have you here because Nailed It's one of these shows that I've been keeping an eye on at Giant Dwarf. And I still haven't been to one. I was like, I'm going this week. I'm going to go see it. And then we just happened to get you in and we have a good chat about it just to build up to the show.
This is actually, Facebook's metrics have gotten very good. And now when someone even has a fleeting thought of interest in the show, they can tell us and we'll be at your doorstep making sure you sign up.
You see, I've got my eye on timeline and just keep on popping up. It's like subliminal messages in my head. Nailed it.
We pay extra for that.
Oh, that's amazing. Now, Nailed It, it's a interesting title because I look at the title and it doesn't really tell me what it means. I've got no idea. Can you explain a little bit about Nailed It and its inception?
So, Nailed It comes from one of the most ubiquitous and also senseless phrases that's used in particularly youth media.
Yep.
That something is nailed or it is skewered or it is murder slayed, or that's a real example as well. And it's usually Waleed or John Oliver or someone of the sort. Samantha Bee's another good example, will absolutely nail something, and once it's nailed, they've nailed it and it can't be nailed again.
You can't like leverage it off back, you know, the nail.
Exactly. We don't have the claw hammer of rhetoric at this stage, so we're kind of stuck. Once something's nailed, it's nailed forever. And this is a show where we get writers and comedians and journalists in to do their own worst possible think piece and just try and nail it.
How long do you get to talk? Like, you've got a number of people on stage. Is there like, you know, you get to talk? Is it segregated?
Yes. So we have the show happens in two halves. There's the speaking section where each person delivers their thesis, so to speak. So we'll have a writer talking for 5 or 6 minutes and they will deliver and try and convince you of their point of view. And then there is a quiz section based on some of the best think pieces of the month, and seeing if you can pick, say, which one is real and which one is garbage I've just made up.
That could be tricky. There are a lot of think pieces written, particularly with Melbourne Cup time just going past.
Oh, hutchy muchy.
And of course, you know, there's always something. Every couple of days is something worthy of a think piece.
Well, every couple of days there are think pieces. Whether there's something worthy of it, I think, is a different discussion.
Well, we're going to find out tomorrow night. We've got a great collection of people. Can you tell us who they are?
Yeah, so we have First Dog on the Moon, a national treasure cartoonist for The Guardian.
Yes.
He makes me say that. I get in a lot of trouble if I don't. We have Mark DiStefano from BuzzFeed, Jen Fricker from Triple J, Brady Jabor, Sally Rugg from Get Up, Brady's, of course, from The Guardian, and Shubha Siva Subramanian, who is a fantastic comedian, helps run a Wolf Comedy around the corner from here.
What a great mixture. Like, you've got, you know, serious political editors like Mark DiStefano, who are getting quite, very, very, what do you call it, popular on Twitter. Mm-hmm. They tweet a lot, but he has a lot of opinions and a lot of, I guess it's not as about opinions, right?
Yes. And you're right about the Twitter game, because Twitter is a bulk opinion generating machine. That's why it's so useful for exactly this purpose. We had last month, we had Osman Faruqi on and introduced him with the notion that this whole night could be seen as a mean subtweet of him.
Osman's a good friend of 2SER, and it's people like that who really aren't short of opinions, aren't short of, and very good writers as well. Mm-hmm. Oz, of course, writes for Junkie now. Mark DiStefano for BuzzFeed, and of course, people from The Guardian and Get Up and First Dog. Like, it's such a cross section of people. But I asked you this off air. Do you think there's enough balance in that panel? Do you think what's the audience that you're sort of looking to talk to here?
See, this is the interesting area for it, because we would love to have any opinion from any angle in this show. And the joy of doing this show is it's often making people have to run an argument that they wouldn't naturally run.
Uh-huh.
Like, when I know I designed, like, when we were designing this show, the thought was that we, as political comedians, like, I've been doing political satire for a lot of years, and there is one thing I hate more than anything else, which is standing in front of an audience that already agrees with me and earnestly telling them how right we both are. And this is a way that, instead of just doing the, hey guys, can we care more argument, you have to walk in the other shoes, and then it gives you a different area to address where you're parodying. And I think it's also, just as a rhetorical skill, it's a good idea that you have to walk in the shoes of the people, like meet them in their battlefield. You can't just just fight with, oh, your side's insane and I don't want to compete with that. I think that, as we mentioned, there's a higher degree of difficulty when you're talking about certain topics, like particularly like when you go on to particularly left hot buttons like marriage equality and immigration stuff, it is very easy, like when you have from one side, whether you believe they're right or not, but their branding is based on love and compassion, it's a lot easier to lean to that side than the other side of the argument, which often is reasonable reform, which, like, whether, again, you agree with that or not is one issue, but it's very hard to comedically run the reasonable reforming. So I think there's a high degree of difficulty, but I'm happy to see anyone take it on.
Well, I think people who are very good at that, like you mentioned, Steve Colbert, it's a matter of recognizing that, yes, reasonable reform is a platform that's legitimate, but you're sort of using that in a way that you're sort of making people realize that, yeah, it's there, and you can still make comedy out of it, but people don't realize that it's easier, like you say, easier to direct people towards the left-leaning, the caring, the loving side, because everybody has a caring, loving side. But some people just choose to make economic reform or serious issues.
But that's, and not to say those things don't help as well. Of course, they do. Yeah. Like this, but this is just a branding issue for either side. Even then, the same thing, the issue we're trying to address is that side that's all love and compassion and stuff seems far too earnest.
Yeah.
And don't have the so that's an area you would walk into with that. But I think it's an interesting challenge in any case that that having to walk an argument that seems like that you wouldn't agree with, an argument that is against your own principles, and having to walk it forces you to really engage with it. You can't just pretend, you can't put up a picture of the anthem with boundless planes to share crushed out and be like, there we go, we've done it. Like, you have to do more than that, because that's not where they're arguing. They're not arguing the anthem's lyrics, so pointing out the anthem's lyrics isn't going to do much.
Now, do you think you can get someone like Andrew Bolt to do it, to do the show, and then he could do the same thing and walk in the shoes of someone opposite to what his beliefs are? Would you ever see him doing that, something like that, or is he just not funny enough?
You know what? I get a lot of laughs. I think it's certainly, far be it from me to be the person who silences Andrew Bolt, because we have heard the poor fella has been really silenced. I was listening to him on Sky and on his show and on his podcast and in the paper, and he has been silenced on all of those platforms. So he's very silenced, and I would hate to add to that. I think there could be people from a different point of view certainly do this show. I would say that he might want to start a competing night at Giant Dwarf, because we're booked out for a little while, but I will return that email.
Excellent. Now, you, James, are obviously a very busy person. You are not only right for the Gruen Transfer back burner on SBS, we were talking before. Just got back from Edinburgh, I believe.
No. But I would happily pretend I did.
My shoot producer just wrote that. We're going to have to get into here. That's completely wrong, Luke. But what keeps
but
you
if
busy
I had,
days?
I would, well, mostly like fraudulent flights to Edinburgh.
I was just going to make you, build a resume for you. That's all. Now you've just given away the gig.
Sorry, I was there performing strictly for the King of Scotland, who is still there.
mostly a writer. Do you do stand-up as well?
Yeah, I do political stand-up where I can, but as you mentioned, I write for The Backburner and The Weekly, and I work on Gruen as well. So it's often when you're doing stand-up, political stand-up particularly, with those and Nailed It already in, stand-up often becomes, what's the fifth best take I have on this issue? So I still do it time and time again, and am getting back into it for the festival run coming up early next year.
Okay.
But it's currently the quiet period, and I'm enjoying it so much.
That's good. It's good. The Giant Dwarf has been a great platform for shows like this, particularly here. It's obviously in a city sort of thing. Why can't we get these sort of events on TV? Why can't we get this sort of a nailed it platform? A panel show. We used to have variety shows on TV a fair bit, but nowadays there's just not much of it. Yeah, we've got The Project, and we've got the Weekly and The Feed and stuff, but why aren't there sort of more comedy variety sort of panel shows anymore?
It's an interesting question, and I think it might be something that opens up a little more, particularly when you see these things as very like cheap and accessible to make, particularly for platforms like online and stuff like that. It's something that like I know another show, Story Club, that runs at Giant Dwarf had a run on ABC too, and it shows like that can work, and particularly when you're thinking for online audiences. I also think we often get in the fear that, as you mentioned, it's a very inner city thing. And like, I remember getting into comedy at, like, I was about 15 when I did my first stand up, and I was living in deep Western Sydney. And I would, like, for the first like year of gigs, you have to take a train in for 2 hours, do 5 minutes, take a train back. And when you bomb, that's a long 2 hours back. Yeah. But it's that, I feel like if you have more of these things out, in particular, like, say, Parramatta's being built up to have a wonderful art scene right now. And I think that's great. Because it makes these things not seem so niche, not seem so internal. Because it's storytelling, and we all love storytelling.
Yeah, yeah. And that, and that's a great thing. Actually, I think seeing it live on a stage is so much more powerful than a produced TV package anyway. But I just thought that, you know, we don't get enough of this sort of stuff on TV.
I grew up on the panel, I understand. I love that.
And Good News Week.
Yes, of course.
Look, we've got run out of time, but Nailed It is on tomorrow night at the Giant Dwarf. James Colley, well done. Congratulations on the show.
Thank you very
really
much.
Really excited for tomorrow night. Featuring, of course, First Dog on the Moon, Bridie Jabbour, Mark DiStefano, Jen Fricker, Sally Rugg, and it says more to be...
Yeah, I know. Shuba got the raw deal there, but it's Shuba Siva Subramanian from Wolf Comedy into the Uni.
That's the TBC on the site.
Okay. Yeah, I think they just freaked out a little. It's fine.
Jump on to giantdwarf.com.au. It's on tomorrow at 8 o'clock. James, thanks so much for coming to 2SER.
Thanks for having me.